Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 12? We have read together a portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We turn back to Romans. Continue our series on biblical relationships and responsibilities within those relationships. And I would hope most of you have received this sheet that lists the reciprocal relationships that we have. Now I have a couple extra you can receive later. But I would like you to add a couple from Romans chapter 12. You notice on the sheet is listed only one in verse 10. Well, two together in chapter 12, verses 10 and 16. But they're actually two in verse 10, but there's also one in verse 5. It's not in the form of a command, but it is giving us kind of the basis of the illustration I'd like us to consider today. So verse 5 says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." So that's the expression, members one of another. There's not a command there, but the idea is reckon ourselves as members one of another, as the illustration in the children's moment about the fact that body parts are to work together. They're certainly reckon themselves as members one of another. In other words, they're not to act independently, but body members work together. So that's verse 5, so you might want to just place 12:5 right above 12:10. And write that in. But also, verse 10 has two that I'd like us to also consider today. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. And that's found on our sheet. But notice the second part of verse 10, in honor, preferring one another. So if you could add preferring one another on the same line as verse 10, or in between verses 10 and 16. So you would see that there's two more reciprocal ideas given to us in Romans 12. So there are four reciprocal pronouns in Romans 12. Verse 5, there's one. Verse 10, there are two. And verse 16. I would like us just to consider the first three in this chapter today. And the title of today's message is Christian Relationships of Love, or Christian Illustrations of Love. To remind us of the idea of reciprocal pronouns in the Scriptures, the general command that the Lord Jesus gives is love one another. That's a generalization. Someone might ask, well, what does that mean? How is that fleshed out? That is the general command. And this goes in line with the fact that God made us relational creatures. He did not make us reclusive in nature. He made us relational in nature. Just like God is relational. God is a Trinity. He's not. There's not one person. We talked about in Sunday school today that it's the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God caused the Son to become a man and to come to earth. But the counsel of God, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, speaks of interaction between at least two. So even that assumes that God is a plurality, not just singular. But of course, we know the Bible teaches that God is three. But the three were in counsel together to determine that the Son would become a man and become our substitute. And God's creation goes along with the fact that He's relational in nature. He made Adam. It's an interesting thought that someone gave recently that I've often said that Adam was with God before Eve was brought into the picture, but someone recently mentioned that Eve was with God while Adam was asleep. So not only did Adam have moments alone with the Lord, Eve did as well. I don't know how long that was the case, but I'll concede to that. So there was Adam and God, and there was also Eve and God. But the fact is that they were relational in nature. And then there was Adam and Eve. So man and woman were related, were married. God married them in the garden. That was the first wedding of history. Then you have Adam and Eve together with Cain and Abel. You've got parents and children. There's relationships there. Then there's the relationship of Cain and Abel, siblings. And then there's the relationship of Adam and his family and Seth and his family and Enos as they began public prayer meetings. And you have the relation of the relationship of the church. And it expands the relationship in society as people work together. There were musicians, there were metal workers, there were farmers, and right down the line where people are interacting. God made us wants there to be a society of people interacting. So the Lord made us relational creatures. And when the Lord Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you," it's a fresh way of looking at relationships, especially those in particular living churches. He said for us to love one another. So God made us relational creatures, and secondly, there are therefore relational responsibilities. Generally, love one another, but specifically or particularly, he spells this out. The first one on our sheet that we notice, for instance, in Mark 9, 34, is negative in nature. Do not dispute or argue with one another. Remember, they argued with one another who was the greatest. But it was right after that when he said, no, you cultivate peace. Have peace one with another. So that's a particular way of loving one another, by cultivating peace, by not fighting every battle that's there, by overlooking some things, as the Scripture says, that love covers a multitude of sins, and so on. So we have the fact that God made us relational creatures, and there are therefore relational responsibilities. Remember, we looked at a picture of love from John 13, where the Lord is not establishing a third sacrament or a third ordinance when he says you ought to wash one another's feet. But this is a picture of love. It means that we're to be concerned for, we're to facilitate one another's growth and sanctification. We're to contribute to each other's growth. We're to be concerned that our feet are washed. Remember, we don't need to be bathed over and over again. That's salvation. But the washing of the feet is a picture of sanctification. And each of us is to wash each other's feet. In other words, we're to be concerned that we're walking with God. We're to be facilitating each other's growth in the Lord. Conversation and generosity and just the exercise of each other's gifts, to see the whole body built up and the Lord glorified. Well, I'd like us to consider a trio of illustrations, if you will, about this reciprocal love from Romans chapter 12. A trio of relationships that the Lord gives us in picture form. We're to visualize, we're to realize ourselves in these kind of interactive manners. See them, a body in verse 5, a family in verse 10, and royalty, maybe a royal family in verse 10b. So the Lord wants us, in verse 5, he says, for instance, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members in particular." So he's saying, visualize, realize that you're a body, and that each member is important, and each member needs to interact, to activate, and to help see the whole body built up. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now, brotherly love is the generalization. Remember, Philadelphia, or love one another, brotherly love. But how do you exercise brotherly love? The particular is be kindly affectioned one to another. And remember, we looked at that as have family affection for one another. So you've got the body, verse 5, the first part of verse 10, the family. And then it says, in honor, preferring one another. It's an interesting way of putting it. It's saying that you're to outdo one another in honoring each other. And that's the idea of that is, in the Bible, the noun that's in this particular word, preferring, is translated governor or ruler, or there's a third one, it passes me right now, governor, ruler, and prince. So the idea that comes from that is that we are to see each other as children of the king, as kings and priests. In other words, to show honor, to respect one another as heirs together of the grace of God. We're to see each other as children of the Lord. And not to demean one another as the world steps over people and treats people as dirt because they might be poor or less educated, but across the board, no matter how educated or how rich or poor anyone is in the kingdom of God, they're all rich in Christ. They're all children of the King. They're all royalty. And so those are the three illustrations I like us to visualize, to realize as we interact together in this particular church. Yes, you can extend it everywhere as we meet believers, of course. And if we went to heaven, we would treat each other as members of a body, and as members of a family, and as members of a royal family. Obviously, as we learn in Revelation, how honorable it is to be children of the King. But it's the King who we cast our crowns, where we cast our crowns at His feet. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. So the first thought is, as we are commanded to love one another, to have Philadelphia, and that's the word in verse 10, where it says, be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love. The word Philadelphia, the compound word, is right there. Remember, that's the generalization. The particularization is be kindly affection. But verse 5, reckon one another as active members of a body. That's essentially what it's saying. We are members one of another. He's saying, reckon yourselves as members of, as active members. Of course, not just members, but active members, as we looked at in that illustration earlier. A body part that's dead is not active anymore. And we know that people who've had strokes and people who've just not been able to make use of a hand or their hearing is gone or their sight is gone. The member is there, but it's not active anymore. And that might be somebody that's just away from the Lord or obviously someone either who's not active, even though he might be part of the work, is just sitting back idly, or someone that's absent altogether and is infrequent and inconsistent. But the Lord is saying here, visualize yourself as a member of the body. And remember from 1 Corinthians, this is a particular body. You are the body of Christ, he said to the Corinthians. Obviously, to the Colossians, they were a body in Christ. To the Ephesians and so on. And he would look at this particular church in this part of the world. This is a body of believers. What makes a body of believers? It's another message, another thought. We know from regeneration by the Holy Spirit, respect for the Word of God, preaching the whole counsel of God, participation in the sacraments, discipline of those who rebel, and so on. We know there are different proofs of being a true body. The Lord is saying, reckon ourselves as members of a body. Each one belongs to one another. He's saying, let each one of you belong to one another. Don't act independently. Don't think that you're above another. Now, the eye might say, well, the eye is most important. You've heard people say, well, what sense would you like to keep if you had to lose all the other? We probably would say eye. But maybe not. Maybe you'd rather have the hearing. Maybe you'd rather hear a bird than see it. They sound so sweet. I don't know, but sometimes we exalt one member over another. No one should be exalted. It's the head. It's Christ. Not I, but Christ. But either way, if you're an eye, say, what if the hearing is missing? And what if you're exalting yourself? What if, and Paul used that ridiculous illustration, the body is not just an eye. You seen just an eye? That comic character that's just an eye as he got little feet and he's walking around as just one eye. I mean, can you imagine? That's what a church is like. If a person who's the eye of the church in a church, maybe he can see things clearly and others may not be able to see so clearly. But if he's exalting himself, it's just the eye. Or somebody says, you know, I'm the ear. I can hear things from a distance. But wouldn't that be a monstrosity if the body were just an ear? Or if the body were just a nose? Or the body was just a mouth? Or the body was just hands? Obviously, it's ridiculous, and it's on purpose to say it's a ridiculous thing for one member of the body to exalt himself above another. We're all to be humble people and all to work together. It's Christ that's glorified. And yet, how often is the case if you walk into a church, you just see an eye, or you see an ear, or you hear a mouth? You don't see Christ, the head. You see the member of the body. We're a body of believers, but we're members in particular, it says. Parts of a body that are many. None are unneeded, as is mentioned in 1 Corinthians. The Lord wants us to see ourselves as a body of believers with Christ as the head. In 1 Corinthians it says, believers are set in that body as particular members by the Spirit, who puts together people as He wills with particular gifts. And this is the sovereignty of God. Do we believe in the sovereignty of God? The Lord has specific members in every particular church on purpose. And therefore we pray, Lord, what is Your will for me? What body should I be a member of? And let me know Your will on that. And then set me in that body. And let me go to work. Let me interact. Let me see. Let me hear whatever my particular gift and part is. Let me not sit back. Let me not be a dead body part. Let me not be like someone who has I don't want to be a stroked part. I don't want to be a part that's struck and I'm dead and useless and just taking up space. Now, of course, we know that as, say, believers, as they get older and they can't act as they once did. Well, we compensate. But let me not be that part where everybody has to compensate on purpose when I could be working. Now, our brother Fred can't be part of this body visual anymore, but we still see him as a part of this body. And we pray for him, though we may not be able to see him. And are forbidden to see him. We pray for him. And whatever else we may be able to do now and in the future, we haven't forgotten him, but he can't be here to serve. He can't be the hands that he used to be and the feet he used to be. We miss him. And we all have to compensate. And we pray that the Lord might bring in others. But we don't look at Fred as now unneeded and not a part anymore. We see him as a part, but the Lord undertakes for him and for us. And seeing the work of God go forward. But all are needed, and all are needed to interact with one another on a regular basis, or the body cannot function. You know, my hand doesn't say, well, I want to work on Sunday, but I don't want to work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We should pray. You say, how do we act together when we're only here on Sundays or Wednesdays? Well, we pray for each other. We text, or we write, or we call. It's not out of sight and out of mind. As we've been studying the different prayer requests on Wednesday of how we pray for each other, that's how we maintain. And we have different meetings from time to time. We have cottage prayer meetings once a year. Or we have bowling together where we interact and fellowship together. Or car wash to reach souls. Whatever it takes to see the body work together and to see the kingdom of God advance. We should say more than less. time. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes our presence. It takes our activity. We should be active members of this body. So we see the illustration of the body. We move to verse 10. And the first part of verse 10 says that we are to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. And it seems to get more intensive, doesn't it? We're a body, but now we're a family. We're a family. This is saying, develop affection for one another as a close family. That's what that word means. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. It's particularizing this one another love. It's saying love is a family. Earthly relationships are going to fade, but eternal relationships are just beginning. We're not going to be married forever. We're not going to be in physical blood families forever. As much as we'd love that to continue, it's not going to. We're going to be as the angels. We're not going to be able to die, but we're not going to be able to marry. There aren't going to be children born in eternity. There aren't going to be marriages. And so the Lord is saying, start now. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Feel that you're brothers and sisters together. Remember what Paul said to Timothy, treat older men as fathers and older women as mothers and younger men as brothers and younger women, knows how he qualifies it, as sisters, but with all purity. Be careful. But the point is that we see each other as family. You say, how do you do that? Well, we listen to what the Lord, He's saying, do this. The Lord sees, He's our shepherd. He's our Father. Jesus is our Savior, our shepherd, our elder brother. The Lord reckons Himself to be family to us. We're in the family of God. So we don't just look at God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as our parents. But we see each other as our family. As in Ephesians, He says, this is a family. And we have to reckon it in our hearts. It just doesn't happen. It happens by cultivation. It happens by assuming it. It happens by effort. You say, how do we become kindly affectionate toward one another? I mean, even the word is saying, have affection together as fam. Well, it takes prayer. We pray, Lord, may my love abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Lord, you've told me to love my brothers and my fellow believers as brothers and sisters. Help me. I can't just do it. I just can't make up my mind and do it. I need the Lord in prayer to form my heart and my mind so that I feel for God's people as my brothers and sisters. That I yearn to be with my brother and sister on the Lord's day when we meet together. I know it's natural affection when we're in families, isn't it? But even in families, it takes cultivation. We can love our spouse more. More not only in quantity, but quality. We can certainly love our children and love our parents and love our siblings more. And the same goes in the church. We pray for such love. It takes time for us to develop brotherly and sisterly love. I mean, that's why we go home every day. Because that's the relationship God has put us in. And a parent and a father or mother doesn't go home, stays away, is violating, is compromising that kind of love, natural love for the family. That's going to foster ill feelings and separate people. And this is what happens when people don't come home for days and months at a time. We wonder why there are divorces and split families. But you go home because it's your family. And so it is. We come here to the Lord to together on the Lord's day because we're family, because Christ is the head, and we come together as members of the body, but we're members of a family. We facilitate family love when we're together. We forgive one another. And I mean, all the other particulars contribute, facilitate this kind of family love, of of cultivating peace. As we read together 1 Corinthians 12:25, the same members have care one for another, concern for one another's welfare. I was listening to Dr. Cook this week, and he said, you know, it's not the first question that shows you really care. It's the second question. Anybody can say, how you doing today? Well, I'm not doing too well. Or how you doing today? Good. And how you doing? Good. And they go on their way. But it's the person that says, how you doing today? And he says, well, I'm not too. Well, wait a minute. What's wrong? How can I pray for you? Now, that's the person that shows they really care. They don't go on to the next thing in their life. They don't treat the individual as just a sidelight. And so it is that we care for one another. Do we think about each other during the week? I trust that we do, that we remember each other in prayer. How is that person doing today? Let me send them a text. Let me give them a call. In prayer, we give thanks for one another as Paul gave thanks to the Lord for the Philippians. So we develop affection for one another as a close family. This is something that takes time and effort and study and prayer and sacrifice and generosity and self-sacrifice. That's chapter 12 and verse 10a. And then thirdly, he says to even go beyond. This is going the second, third, the fourth mile, where he says in verse 10, in honor, preferring one another. So we're told that we are to reckon ourselves as active members of a body. We're to develop affection for one another as a close family. And thirdly, may I express it in this way, we're to practice honoring one above another as royalty. A man named Weiss says, this is saying, vying with one another, showing honor. Another one said, outdoing one another with honor. The idea is that in our love for one another, we're honoring one another above ourselves. That person, as Philippians says, esteeming others better than ourselves. It's another way of putting it. Preferring one another. Now that's the word that particular verb is used of a governor being brought into the situation. It's the same verb used in Matthew 2, verse 6. There shall come a governor. Now, how do you bring this into this passage? Preferring one another as a governor. That's the idea. We're seeing one another as children of the King, as important, purchased by the blood of Christ, an elect of God. We don't demean one another because of whatever reasons, our pride or because of comparison. There's all kinds of reasons. And that's in this particular devotion today. Dr. McClellan wrote about believers are either united or untied. And the difference is the placement of the eye. But he speaks about reasons why believers would be at odds. And uses the P's there, personalities, like in Corinthians, in Corinth. Prominence, performance, political issues, and so on. But all those things are temptations for us to prefer ourselves above others. But it's the grace of God where we see each other as royalty. We see Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we treat Him with respect, with uttermost honor. But then the Bible speaks about us honoring our parents, for instance. And the Bible speaks about honoring even all men because they're made in the image of God. We honor one another because we're remade in the image of God in Christ. And children of the King, we visualize, we realize that we're with royalty, we're with Christ's people. And so we treat one another, honor one another above ourselves. And as I said, the noun form of this particular word is translated prince and governor and ruler in the New Testament. May I say that we esteem each other as dignitaries, royalty, because the Bible speaks of us as being kings and priests. as heirs together of the grace of God, joint heirs with Christ. We're children of God, children of the King, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. And so, in a sense, we're saying to one another when we're together, let me spread a rug for you to walk on. Let me serve you today. Let me open the door for you. What can I do for you today? The word honor means to give weight to respect, to care for as important. These are the illustrations the Lord gives us in Romans chapter 12, the particularizations of loving one another. And let us pray through these things. Lord, let me interact as in a body, as in a family, and as in a royal family, the kingdom of God we're part of. What a privilege it is, isn't it, to be children of the King? And the world, Lord Jesus says, this is how the world's going to know you're mine. As the world comes in, they're going to see that you have love one for another. They see, look, these people treat each other like they're one body. They're all different members. They're working together to see the head honored, and they see themselves as a body of believers. They see themselves as a family, a close family, and they treat one another with respect, with honor, with the idea of being important. It's so contrary to the world, isn't it? The world is at odds with one another. Selfishness rules the day. Stepping over one another, anything but kindly, affection, hatred. And matter of fact, the first time the reciprocal words are used in Matthew 24 speaks about they shall hate one another as the end times come, because the love of many waxes cold, it says, lawlessness will abound. And among God's people, lawfulness abounds, and not hatred, but true love and honor and respect. So may the Lord help us to cultivate this kind of love for one another, and pray that the Lord would send others, that we need more members of the body, we need more members of the family, we need more members of the royal family of the Lord. While we're together, no matter how many there are, how few, how many, may the Lord knit our hearts together in love, and may the Lord Jesus be honored and praised and exalted. Let's pray.